One of the slogans that has been coined after the martyrdom of Shahid Soleimani is that many of the lovers, many of the admirers have been saying that we all are Soleimani. I beg to differ from this claim. Soleimani was someone who searched and struggled to get connected with his beloved. Constantly, 24/7, for 40 years. It was just not done with mere prayers. Soleimani was someone who was always constantly standing for the oppressed. He was thorn in the eye of the oppressors. He constantly lived up to his words. He constantly lived up to the claim that we all make, that we will stand with the oppressed and stand against the oppressor. Now the question is, since we all are not Soleimani as of yet, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to become like him? Is it possible? Absolutely, it is possible. He proved it. He proved it while constantly struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not over contemplating on what would be good for him and his family in this mortal world. But yet, he was firm and steadfast in fulfilling the goals of Islam. We are definitely, as we witness these events to unfold, these divine days to manifest in our lives, the responsibility becomes all more serious on each and every one of our shoulders. It has been manifested in front of us that what can a true lover do? What level, what status can he achieve in this world? With that being said, as we progress with our program, I would like to invite Sheikh Ali to come and deliver a speech on a very interesting topic. The title of the speech is From Islamic Revolution to Islamic Civilization. Please welcome him with the loudest of your salawat.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'in ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, congratulations on the 41st anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. This divine Islamic revolution of Iran. Today we are celebrating the practical implementation of the pure Muhammadan Islam. Today we are celebrating the practical implementation of the system of Wilayatul Faqih. 41 years have passed, brothers and sisters, and this revolution from a sapling has turned into a tree, and that too a strong one. The enemies conspired against this revolution for all these 41 years. According to the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the enemy did not waste even one day where they did not conspire against this revolution, this divine revolution. What is this divine revolution? How does it become the continuation of the divine revolution of prophets and imams? This is something for all of us to understand. The other thing that we are here for is to commemorate and to pay tribute to martyr Shahid Qasim Soleimani, this beloved general of ours, this brave general of ours. Along with him was his companion from Iraq, Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. Together, these two struggled in the way of Islam to fight the enemies of Islam. They stood tall against all the challenges, all the attacks, and all the conspiracies of the enemies, to a point that they defeated the biggest terrorist project of the world that America had ever launched. This project called ISIL and later on ISIS was the most expensive project of the United States of America and the Zionist regime of Israel in this region. We're commemorating these personalities. We pay our tribute from the core of our heart to these shuhada. Brothers and sisters, I'll take a few minutes of your time and go over some of the founding principles of the Islamic Revolution. This divine Islamic Revolution of Iran that came about in 1979, what was it founded on? What is the foundation of this revolution? And this will tell you why you guys are here. If I were to ask you, brothers, sisters, what made you take this trip out here, come out to attend this program? You would need to know the basis of the Islamic Revolution. The first one of them, and very quickly I'm going to skim through them. The first one of them is formation of a monotheistic Islamic society. What is a monotheistic Islamic society? It is where God, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the center of everything. We live for Allah and we die for Allah. We do every single thing for the sake of Allah, and not at an individual level, at a social level. This is what the Islamic Revolution of Iran was after and is still after, and it is a work in progress, as we can all see. The second of those foundations is the implementation of divine justice. Brothers and sisters, many people and many cultures and many socializations, they come up with these terms, these rosy terms, to fool people. When it comes to Islam and when we talk about the divine justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is something special. We need to be able to understand how it is different from the Western concept of justice. So this implementation of divine justice is the other goal, the second goal of the Islamic Revolution. The third one is the spirituality and ethics and its promotion. Brothers and sisters, those who are old enough to know, before 1979, before the advent of this great Islamic Revolution, what was the condition of the Islamic world? What was the condition of the entire world when it comes to spirituality? We can safely say that it was fading away. Nobody wanted to talk about spirituality. Nobody wanted to talk about ethics. But alhamdulillah, with the emergence of the Islamic Revolution and this divine system, spirituality got revived. Not just across the Islamic world, but throughout the world. Even Christianity, they got their act together and they started working towards it. The fourth one is resistance against the arrogant powers. Brothers and sisters, it's a principle of Islam. No matter how much we study and how much we don't, no matter how much we have ideological depth and how much we don't, at the end of the day, there are some principles of Islam that every single Muslim needs to abide by. This very principle of Islam, which means resistance against the arrogant powers, is a global message of the Islamic Revolution. As we can see in the entire world, from Palestine to Lebanon to Yemen to Egypt, everywhere, Bahrain, Pakistan, all of these places. They got the message of resistance against the arrogant powers and taghut through Islamic revolution, through this divine system of wilaya. This is what is the source of this global message, and this message got revived. Again, those of you who have some study of the past and who are old enough, look at before 1979. What was the situation of the Islamic countries, Muslim nations, even ulama, even the scholars of Islam? How many of them were fighting the global arrogant powers? How many of them were actually resisting against them? Well, Imam Khomeini laid foundation for it. Imam Khomeini revived the Islam of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt. Brothers and sisters, last but not the least is that Islam, unfortunately, has been interpreted as something that is good only for the hereafter. Well, guess what? It's wrong. Islam tells us very clearly that Islam is a key to salvation, a key to dignity, a key to respect, a key to felicitation, not just in this world, but the hereafter. And not just for the hereafter, but for this world as well. If you look at the Islamic revolution, nanotechnology, space engineering, you look at all the scientific developments that generally we just discard by saying, oh, it's dunya. No, it's not dunya, it's our deen. Just like our politics is our deen, similarly, these scientific developments is our deen. This is no different. And who gave us this message? Again, the divine Islamic revolution. Brothers and sisters, the first phase of the Islamic revolution, the successful Islamic revolution, has completed. As we all know, the first 40 years, according to the leader of the Muslim Ummah, have completed, and that tells us that the first phase of the Islamic revolution has ended. The second phase has begun. The second phase of what? As the leader puts it, the second phase of self-development, khudsazi. And as the leader says, the second phase of society processing, jamee sazi, jamee pardazi. The second phase of what? Civilization building, tamaddun sazi. So this is where we are headed. We're not living in pre-Islamic revolution time. The revolution has come. We have an Islamic government established in the world. We have the system of wilaya established in the world. Let's not fool ourselves. It's kind of like saying that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is doing uprising, and I am going to consider these to be first 40 years of the time of Rasulullah. Well, if you're living in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, your responsibility is to be with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, accompany Imam Hussein alayhi salam. If you fall short on this, you are not fulfilling your wazifa. Right? Now, this second phase of the Islamic revolution is the good news. Why? Because we have an opportunity to do anything, do something. We were not there back in the day when Islamic revolution came about. We couldn't do anything for this divine revolution. Right? We just got it all done already. Now we stand the chance. We can be part of this second phase of the Islamic revolution and deliver for the cause. We need to be able to make an impact because of our existence. We need to be able to create that momentum, add to the momentum of the Islamic revolution and the second phase of the Islamic revolution. This is our religious responsibility. It's not something good to do. It's not something that's political in nature. No, it's our wazife shar'i. We need to be able to understand this fact. Brothers and sisters, not to bore you, but I want to talk a little bit about the martyrdom of Shahid Qasim Soleimani and Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. These two soldiers of Islam, these two Urafa of Islam, they lived in the time that we are breathing as well. We lived through that time. What is my performance? When I compare myself to these great personalities and these shuhada of Islam, I become embarrassed. We need to be able to deliver. This attack on Shahid Qasim Soleimani by the global imperialism, the United States of America, the great Satan, the Shaitanul Akbar, as Imam Khomeini used to call it. This is a cowardly attack. They could not fight these soldiers of Islam in the battlefield, so they took them out by and through this cowardly attack, this drone attack. This is the weakness of America.
Mad, mad America!
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 This is a war crime that America has committed. If you look at this entire operation, their drone was illegally operating in a sovereign country named Iraq. Number two, Shahid Qasem Soleimani went there as on an official delegation on the invitation of the Prime Minister of Iraq, correct? So America attacked and operated its drone illegally in a country that does not give it permission for any airstrikes on its guests. Now consider this, if any other country, any other group would have done a crime like this, what would be the world doing? What would be the global organizations like United Nations, these global organizations like Security Councils, what would be other countries doing against that particular country? But look, this is why we say America is a global arrogant power. It's the great Satan that nobody has the audacity. Nobody dares say a word against America. Why? Because they are enslaved. They're enslaved because we're not fulfilling our duty. We, being the followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we need to step up to the challenge. We need to come out of this hiding. We need to come out of this basement mentality and face the enemy in their face and tell them that no, those days of hit and run are gone.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Just
Brother, sorry, I'm going to take a few minutes of your time. If you have to do takbir, which is not required, necessary or anything, then do it the way that when the leader of the Muslim Ummah needs support, he knows he can count on you. When the Islamic movement needs support, the movement knows they can count on you. Do a takbir in a way that is not an appreciation for the zalim and oppressor. Rather, it's an encouragement and support for the oppressed. You do it from the bottom of your heart.
We're going to say,
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar,
Allahu Akbar, Khamenei Rahbar,
Marbar
Zidda Velayat,
Marbar Amrika, Marbar.
And we say to our Imam, Imam of our time, O Imam, you have been in occultation waiting for the Ummah to wake up. We want to tell you that the men of the Ummah are awake. The women of the Ummah are awake. They are ready to give sacrifices for your reappearance. We are here waiting for you. We are here to receive you. We're not going to be lazy. We're not going to be cowards. We're not going to just use your ghaibat as an excuse for our comfortable lives. O Imam of our time, we pledge allegiance to you. We give you our promise. We are looking for you. We are waiting for your reappearance. And this Ummah is going to deliver the results this time. It's not going to be like what the Ummah did with the first 11 Imams. They got them martyred. They got them sacrificed. They got them crucified. They got them jailed. Not again. O Imam of the time, we are at your service. We are here to give our pledge of allegiance to you. We are waiting for your reappearance. And for this, we are chanting this slogan from the bottom of our heart. Labbaika ya Mahdi!
Labbaika ya Mahdi!
Labbaika ya Mahdi!
Labbaika ya Mahdi! Labbaika ya Mahdi!
I've already gone over my time. I had some more thoughts to share, but I apologize from the senior ulama, especially Ayatollah Araki, for this jasarat. And inshallah, he will forgive me, and may Allah accept all of your presence and all of our efforts here. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.